12-Sided Stories is for mature audiences and often deals with topics that may be difficult for some listeners. Discretion is advised.
In the city of dreams, everyone wants to be a star, but at what cost? 12-Sided Stories presents Otherworld Hollywood.
Hello and welcome to Otherworld Hollywood, episode number 17. We were in a room with Penelope turning into what's pretty sure a werewolf.
Yeah.
And everything was going quite hectic. And you're probably thinking to yourself, I can't wait to find out what happened. But I'm going to leave you on that cliff for a little bit longer, because today we're going to be doing a one-shot with the wonderful Lev. Say hello, Lev.
Hello, Lev.
Lev, who are you playing again?
I am playing Roberta Robbie Cerillos, a powerful young writer. Powerful is a choice of word. They have a pretty high power score, so that's kind of...
Right. That works out for you until you start losing those roles every once in a while, and it slowly starts to go down.
I live in fear of that day, Wes. Thanks.
Enjoying the show? Then take a moment to join our Patreon. Support the podcast and get early access to episodes and bonus content. Head to 12-Sided Stories Patreon today.
That's the way Call of Cthulhu people min-max, is they're like, I want a power score that's 99 and my dex is 30, you know, is 30. It's like, and that's why you trip in front of a bus.
Yeah. I don't think I've ever played a TTRPG character that I dumped dex in, because I like dex too much as a skill. Because I wish I had it in my real life. I'm like, I can't dump Dex. Who do I think I am?
Yeah, yeah. There's so many things. Okay, so we are going to be talking about a slightly younger, because Robbie is 26 during the current time. But we're going to be talking about a younger Robbie. We're going to be going back to, I'm going to say, just after the war. You are... In your senior year of high school, did you go to college or no?
I don't think so. I think Robbie was more of like a self-educate kind of a kid. I think they learned everything from high school. And then if they weren't at work, they were in the library.
Well, and let's face it, during the 40s, there wasn't this mad push to get every kid to go to college when it, you know, if you had the skills, you could get whatever job. You know, as long as it wasn't like doctor or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. So you're getting close to graduating high school. Tell us a bit about the city you're from, Pecos, Texas. It's in West Texas. Tell us about that. You gave us a little bit of the lore behind the city before. So go ahead and just tell us about it.
So I was talking about Marfa, which is a town that's a little bit away from Pecos. I want to say it's to the west, but I'm not positive. I can't remember my geography. Pecos is a pretty small town. It's got like a movie house. It's got a library. It's got everything like a small town in West Texas really, really needs. There are bearded lizards kind of running all over the place, squirting blood out of their eyes if you try to catch them. Desert, so the summer is pretty wet. You get pretty big deluges during the summer and these really, really gorgeous thunderstorms out over the Davis Mountains in the distance, like purple clouds, white lightning. It's incredible.
Sounds it.
Also close by is this little swimming hole called Balmoray. It's a natural spring that kind of bubbles up from under the earth, and it's slowly kind of been built up into this pool. Robbie spends a lot of time there during the summers as well. There are fish at the bottom portion of it, so Robbie will take a pretty big deep breath and dive down as deep as they can and just sit among the fish for a bit and kick back up. Yeah, Robbie's a bit of a loner. Robbie doesn't have really any super close friends. They have kids that like will work with them during school and they'll exchange pleasantries, but other than that, they're pretty alone a lot of the time, and they're mostly okay with it.
Yeah, the isolation is there, but it's not necessarily something you don't like, you know?
Yeah.
Now, It is early morning. Your mom has already left for the library. She's, as you have told me, a librarian. And your dad is getting ready for work. And there is this knock on the door. And you're upstairs with your beat-up typewriter. And you're about halfway through the school year. And there's only a few more months to go till you graduate. And you hear your dad talking. And he says, "God damn it. What did you do this time?" And another male voice says, Look, it wasn't my fault. I just need a place to hang out for a little bit. This is off the map enough, and I can just hang out here." And your dad goes, "Jake, come on. I got a little girl upstairs and a wife, and I can't keep hiding you out when you do stupid things." And he goes, "You've got a kid? You never told me that." He goes, "Shh, quiet. Just get in the kitchen."
I think hearing the front door shut, Robbie, who's kind of stopped clacking away on their typewriter and is just kind of letting their fingers rest on the keys, pushes back from their desk as slowly as they can, kind of bangs on one of the hinges on one of their leg braces so it unsticks, and starts really slowly trying to make their way toward the stairs, skips the third step down because it creaks every time, and gets down just low enough to try to angle their head to get a shot through to the kitchen just to see who this person is. Because it's not a voice they recognize, right?
Nope. Give me a dex check. A stealth. I'm sorry.
Stealth. Oh, good. I'm glad I didn't take it. Excellent. Ooh, yeah, 89. That's a failure.
So you think you're being sly, and you try to skip the third step, and you twist around a little bit and don't necessarily fall, but stumble a bit down the steps and make a big clacking sound as your braces are hitting the wood.
Oh, shit.
And you hear your dad go, "Robbie, come on in here."
"It's not Robbie, it's a ghost." That was dumb.
"Sweetie, come on in here."
Okay. I'll take the last few steps at a normal speed and order and just kind of lean close enough to see him and try and get a shot. Still trying to see who this other person is. I don't know if he's like deeper in the kitchen. I don't know where they are.
They're at the kitchen table. I imagine your house being a moderate size house. So maybe two bedrooms, bedroom upstairs. Your parents' bedroom is downstairs, a kitchen with a little eating nook and a living room kind of situation. And maybe one bathroom or an outhouse at this point, you know, depending on how rural we're talking. You kind of look in and there is a man sitting across from your dad who looks like he's in about like his late 20s. He's got a army jacket on that looks like it's been just through the ringer, and these jeans on and big black boots. And he looks a lot like your dad. He looks like a younger version of your dad. And your dad turns to you and goes, "I'd like you to meet your uncle. This is Jake. Come on in here."
Robbie's still not going to get close, but I think Robbie will enter the kitchen finally and just kind of look this person up and down. "Never heard about you."
Jake turns to you and goes, "I've been away for a while, and it's nice to meet a ghost." And he puts his hand out.
Robbie will shake it from a distance. "Were you in the war? Is that where you were?"
"I was. It was one of the places I was."
"Are you okay?"
"Your dad doesn't think I'm okay, but I'm okay."
I guess I meant that in more of a physical, mental sense of "are you well?" rather than good or evil.
"Well, I'm not evil." And your dad kind of chuckles a little bit. He goes, "I did take a bullet in the war, but I'm okay now."
"Oh my God, where? Where? Really?"
"In my leg."
"Can I see?"
And he pulls up and he's got underneath his jeans a brace.
"Me too."
"Yeah, I see that."
"Cool."
"They gave me this medal," and he opens up his coat and he has a little purple heart hanging there. And he goes, "So I carried as good luck because I got sent home, luckily."
Robbie kind of turns to their dad. "I didn't know you had a brother, and now he has a brace and a purple heart. Dad."
"Robbie, it was complicated. Your uncle has been..." What he's trying to say, Robbie, is "I've been not in well with the local authorities. I tend to move around a lot, and I think your dad was trying to protect you from a life well lived."
"Well, are they, like, Are they rules about, are they laws about people that could get them hurt that you broke? Or are they just like boring rules that you broke, like driving too fast?
Oh, well, I needed some money. And so I stole from a bank that had a lot of really rich people who weren't giving out money. And your dad interrupts and goes, you know, the Robin Hood bit is good and all, but it doesn't excuse breaking the law. He gives your uncle the same look he gives you when you're doing something wrong. You definitely see the look.
I don't know, Dad. I think sometimes rules aren't the thing you have to follow all the time, especially when they're dumb rules, and especially when people aren't being kind.
See, this ghost gets it.
Robbie kind of like does a little dance at being called a ghost again for some, like something about it tickles them real good. And they just kind of do a little happy dance.
And your dad goes, well, look, Jake, you can stay here for a while, but you know, you have to figure out what you're going to do. And Jake goes, well, look, I want to stay here for like a week and then I'll head down to Mexico for a while.
Where were you before this? Where you stole all that money from those people that probably didn't need to have it?
I was in New York.
Oh, there are a lot of rich people there. Yeah, that makes sense.
There are. Well, see, and he goes, I'm going to tell you something. I'm a communist. Do you know what a communist is?
Yes, I do. I kind of like look up at my dad.
Your dad's shaking his head like, oh, Christ.
And I'll like lean in a little closer even. I don't disagree with communism. I think there are execution problems, which is why there are problems with people thinking communism is bad. But I think as an idea, it's nice.
And he goes, well, I agree with you. The problem is that the people who are at the top sometimes forget the point of communism. And so the execution goes wrong.
That makes sense, because people make a lot of really selfish choices all the time. And then they think back and think that they made really good choices. And I don't know how they confuse themselves.
Yes, I agree. So, Ghost, you going to show me around the town?
I can show you around the town on my way to school, unless I can not go to school today. And I'll kind of look at my dad again.
Your dad says, yeah, if you want to stay home, you can.
Yes!
Get to know your uncle a little bit before he does something really stupid.
I promise we won't do anything illegal stupid. And I promise all the laws, not just the ones that I agree with.
Jake laughs and gets up. He says, all right, well, let's go. And your dad comes over to you and says, I want you to know that you're the responsible one of the two of you. So please be careful.
Of course, Dad. I'm very practiced at responsibility. That's a lie. I don't know why I said that. I know that's a lie. We'll come by and see you. That's what we'll do. That's how you'll know that nothing bad has happened, is that we'll come by and see you.
That sounds good. I have to get to work anyway. Oh, and here, and he hands you $2, which is a good amount of money. You know, get yourself some food and have some fun today. I'll let your teachers know.
Okay, thank you. I was going to be mad at you for not telling me about your brother, but I don't want to be mad at you. So I'm not going to be mad at you for not telling me about Uncle Jake.
I'm sorry, sweetie. Sometimes we do things we think are going to protect our kids, and they're not always the right thing.
I know.
I'm glad you're going to get to know him. Jake, don't do anything stupid, you idiot. And then he walks out and gets into his truck. And Jake looks at you and goes, all right, you ready? Where do we go first?
Well, we can swing by the movie house and see what they're playing. I don't think they'll be like playing anything yet because it's really early in the morning. And there's no reason for them to, because everyone's going to be at work or at school. So they're probably not going to be open, but we can see what's there. And then we can go see Mom. Do you want to see Mom?
I'd love to see Trini. That'd be great.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll go. Okay. And Robbie kind of sits, like, not sits, but just kind of like sets really quick and moves their hands like they're like walking through streets with like their hand is a person and they're walking through streets trying to like map out the path that they want to take. And then there's a place that sells really good tamales that we can get to eat. And then Dad's store. And then we can come back.
And he looks at you and he goes, you know, your dad used to do that. Map things out.
Yeah?
Yeah. All the time.
That's cool.
All right, let's go. And you guys walk out, and sitting there right next to where your dad's truck was is a motorcycle. And he goes, all right, jump on the back.
Cool. It's going to be... Can I...
Are you worried about your ears?
Yeah. Like, I can get some tissues or something? Yeah, Robbie runs back in the house, grabs a bunch of tissues, stuffs them in their ear, and then grabs a couple extra in case Uncle Drake wants them and runs back out. I brought some in case you need them too. Or I guess you're probably used to it.
I'm pretty used to it, but I appreciate the thought. It was very kind of you.
Sure. I'll stuff them in my pocket for later.
You jump on the back of this bike. These bikes are not necessarily comfortable. That being said, the constant motion and the way that the bike kind of moves around like an ocean is something that I would imagine Robbie would enjoy. Being still can be sometimes overwhelming. And you're flying down the road, and these are dirt roads. There's all this dust going on, and you have on his helmet. He doesn't have the helmet on. And you are holding on to his torso. He is flying around these corners and everything else. And you can hear that he's talking, but you don't understand anything that he says.
I think even above the roar of the motorcycle and the wind, Robbie is just shrieking with joy. I think they recognize that he's talking. I don't think that really matters to them in the moment. I think the, like, chest lightening joy of the movement of the motorcycle and the speed and, like, this person who's just kind of taken all of them in stride has set off this just, like, joy in them that they can't really tone down at the moment.
Right. So where's the first place you take your uncle?
The movie house.
Okay. So we'll say that it's a few months after Christmas, but It's a Wonderful Life is still in your theater. Everybody's seen it like four times, but it takes a long time to get new films. So they'll just hold on to a film forever. And he goes, oh, It's a Wonderful Life.
Yeah, I've seen it, I think, three times. The last time I saw it, I think, like, someone had fallen asleep. So one of the frames was a little messy. It was really fun. It was right at the end. So I guess it didn't matter that much. But one of their faces got a little melty.
Yeah. You know, it's funny because that movie's based on how much a person's life affects other people around them. It's interesting to me because Mr. Potter is basically, you know, they should show more of how badly Mr. Potter's actions affect people than they did.
Yeah, he wasn't good. Although, no. I guess good is a moving target, but he didn't act good.
So what grade are you in, Ghost?
I'm a senior.
And what do you want to do?
Write.
Oh, that's great. You know, I used to write.
Really? What did you write about?
Mainly just wrote stories about what it would be like to go to the moon, go out into space.
Yeah, I love science fiction. What do you think the moon would be like? Do you think it's cold? Do you think it's hot? Do you think that we can bounce? Do you think we would be squished? Like, what do you think the moon's like?
Well, for people like me and you, the moon is whatever we want it to be. So whatever we want to write in the story, yeah. But if you're looking for real, because I see you rolling your eyes.
Yes.
I imagine that it's probably pretty warm. And I wonder if the side that we can't see, the dark side, is cold. And I bet there probably is something living up there. I just don't know what.
What do you think it is, though? What do you think it could be? Because I've seen the lights in Marfa. We can go see the lights in Marfa. Oh, my gosh. I don't know what they are. No one knows what they are. They're just, like, all up on the hills, and there's lights, and they just appear. Mom and Dad took me one time, and it was so wild, and I wanted to get closer, but they said I wasn't allowed to because it was dark, and there were, like, animals out on the mountain, which makes sense. And you can't see the lights during the day because the sun is up, and the sun's so freaking bright.
Well, you're almost an adult. You're graduating school pretty soon. You get to make all those decisions yourself.
But this is my problem, see, because I don't like what Mom and Dad said and why they told me I couldn't do it, but it doesn't mean they're wrong.
How old were you when they told you?
14.
14's a long time ago for a kid.
I guess that's true.
You gotta remember, you change a lot as you grow older.
That's true, but I'm still very small. By comparison to a lot of people, I'm pretty small, and I think a mountain lion would eat me.
Well, I tell you what, I can talk with your dad, and if I go with you out there and he says it's okay, then we'll go.
Really? Like on the mountain? Like looking for the lights?
Sure, we'll take the bike up there.
Yes, yes, yes. Oh my gosh, yes. I have to figure out what notebook I'm going to bring in so I can put notes in it so I can write about it later. Can we, when we go by the, no, we don't have to. When we go by the store, I'll just get another notebook and that's fine. No, wait.
We can go by the store now. We have all day.
No, we have a plan though. We were going to go.
Oh yes, of course, the plan. We have to go by your dad's work. And when we do that, he works at Woolworths, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then we can just get the paper then.
Yeah. Okay. That's good. That's a good idea. We don't need to go get paper right now. We're not going right now because we still have to talk to Dad. Right.
Right. Where do we go next?
Library. We can walk if you want to. It's just a couple blocks down.
Sure.
Unless it'll hurt your knee.
It won't. I'll be okay.
Okay. Sometimes my legs hurt and I don't like walking, but it's okay right now.
I understand that. I think a lot of people don't understand the difficulties of walking with a brace. I didn't until I had to walk with one.
Yeah.
All right, let's go. If you're all right, I'm all right. Let's head out.
Mm-hmm. I think as we're walking down the street, Robbie, not looking at him. Robbie hasn't been looking at him a ton, but that's not out of the ordinary for Robbie. I think they go, what were you saying on the bike? I couldn't hear you.
Oh, I was talking about how your dad and I used to ride around on a boat when we were growing up, and we'd go swimming. And we'd jump in the water. And one time we got a chance to go and see family back in Puerto Rico. And we got to swim in the ocean and how blue it was and how nice it was. Have you been there yet?
No.
Well, you should go.
Dad always talks about it. Or, I mean, he'll talk about it, but he won't talk about it a lot because he gets kind of sad. I try to talk to Abuelita a lot, but I mostly just send her letters because it's hard, you know. And I remember he would talk about how the iguana's claws would sound on things and all the really good fruit trees. That sounds nice. And the ocean. I want to go see the ocean. I mean, I've seen the Gulf of Mexico, but that doesn't really count as the ocean.
It's ocean adjacent. I get what you're saying. Well, you know, pretty soon you can have your own adventures and do whatever you want to do. And if one of those things is to go to Puerto Rico at some point, you can. Even if it's only for a week.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess you're right. I never really thought about that. Robbie chews on their lip for a minute and walks sort of further around and then closer again and then further around. Sometimes I forget that I'm supposed to live a life after high school. Like, everyone is just focused on so much of themselves in high school. And I guess I am too, to an extent, because I haven't thought about what I want to do after high school besides writing. But I don't know. I forget that I'm supposed to be someone, I guess.
Well, you're not supposed to know all the answers. And as much as your dad is right most of the time, even my mom doesn't know all the answers, and she's in her 80s, you know? So as you get older, you're not going to learn all the answers. But you have a brain. You're going to know a lot of things as you get older. You just have to trust yourself.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like knowing things, and learning is fun, and that's good, but I don't want to just be learning all the time. I want to be doing things, but I don't know what I want to be doing. And then I forget or remember because someone tells me that I can do whatever I want. And then that's really overwhelming because there's a lot of things that I want to do, and they all are probably really far away and hard to get to or cost a lot of money, and I need to save up for it. But I also keep breaking my typewriter because it's really old, so I have to fix it a lot. But I've gotten really good at fixing it myself. I've only had to take it into a repair shop like twice now.
That's awesome. And then suddenly he grabs you by the waist and swings you into an alleyway. He goes, I'm sorry. He says, duck down.
Okay.
And he crouches down as far as he can. And you see this black car drive down the main street. And he says to you, you ever see that car before?
No, I don't think so. No. Definitely not, actually. No, for sure not.
All right. So our job now is to make sure if we see that car, we duck into an alleyway, okay?
What's wrong with that car?
I think they might be looking for me.
Already?
Yeah. I've been on a run for a while now, kid.
Because you're a communist?
Well, I'm a communist that likes to cause issues for people.
That's not a bad thing, right?
No. Well, it's a bad thing to the people I cause problems for, I guess. Anyway, let's go see your mom. The car's gone. Sorry I had to grab you like that.
Yeah, that wasn't super fun. But now that I understand, I guess.
I'll try to give you a heads up if I have to do something like that again.
Okay.
And you guys get to the library. The place is empty. It's early morning in a small town, and your mom looks up. Your mom pauses for a second, and she goes, "Jake?" And he goes, "Trini? Hey, how you doing?" And your mom kind of stands up and sees you and goes,
"Hi, Mama.
Why aren't you not in school, young lady?"
Dad said I didn't have to go because I'm showing Uncle Jake around town. Dad said he'd talk to my teachers and everything. And I'm doing better now because I actually did my science homework last week. So really, they don't have any reason to be mad at me even.
I see. Jake, still sowing chaos throughout the world, aren't you? You know it. And she walks up and gives him a hug. She goes, "So why are you in town?" And basically he says about the same thing. He goes, "Well, I'm having some issues. I won't be here very long." And he goes, "Look, I need your help. Ghost and I," and she goes, "Who's Ghost?" I go, "This one."
"Me, I'm Ghost."
"Ah, okay. So Ghost and I want to go up and see the lights." And your mom rolls her eyes. "Anyway, Eduardo listens to you more than me and trusts you, so maybe you could ask for us?" And she goes, "All right, I will ask for you. But
thank you, Mama.
You be careful when you go up there, all right?"
"Mm-hmm."
"How far away is this place, Ghost?"
"Okay, so it's like 100 miles away. But it, like..."
"That's like a 2-hour drive."
"Yeah, exactly. It's just 2 hours."
"And are you still driving that motorcycle?"
Yes. It's so fun."
"Yes, I'm driving the motorcycle."
Robbie's like doing a little dance in the corner thinking about the motorcycle again.
She goes, "And do you have a helmet?" I go, she can use my helmet. It's no big deal." "All right, I'll talk to your dad, and here's what I say. Go on out there tonight. It's easier to apologize than to ask permission."
I think Robbie does the opposite of what they want to do by whispering, because they want to scream, but they know they're in the library, so they really aggressively whisper, thank you, mommy, and just like wraps her up in a really, really tight hug. "Okay, awesome, great, thank you."
She grabs Jake's arm as you guys are turning towards the thing, and she goes, "You be careful. You guard her with your life, or I will break your other leg." And he goes, I know. And then you guys walk out of the library.
I can't believe it. I can't believe she said yes. I feel like I'm riding the motorcycle again. I want to like breathe fire or something. This is amazing. Okay, I'm making a new plan. I know we had a plan, but I'm making a new plan. Hold on.
Go ahead.
They sit on kind of the low wall out in front of the library and press like both of their fists against their forehead, like they're thinking really hard. And probably 45 seconds later, they bounce back up. Okay, we get enough tamales to last for lunch and for dinner. We go talk to Dad. We don't tell him what we're doing because Mom said we don't have to. I get a new book, and then we go immediately.
That sounds like a good plan.
Yes.
Lead the way.
Okay. Robbie is closer to a child than people usually see out of Robbie. Robbie's pretty, I guess, reserved a lot of the time, not really having any reason to emote one way or another, really. And this is like five of their dreams coming true all at once.
So you head over to your dad's work to get the book and everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, no, we get tamales first and then we go to my dad's because that's the plan.
Okay. So you guys have lunch. As you're sitting there eating, he goes, "So do you want to hear a story about your mom?"
"Yes."
"So you didn't hear this from me, but your mom went to the same school as I did and your dad. They were a few years older, and my brother was graduated before I did. And when I graduated from high school, he was getting done with his school of his own. He didn't go to college. He was... I don't know if at the time he was a real free thinker. He wanted to write too. And I always kind of looked up to him because he was this arts guy. He wanted to do stuff with metal and make metal sculptures and things like that. And I always thought that was really cool."
"He still does. There's some in our backyard. I didn't even show you the backyard. That should have been the first stop."
"Well, you can show us when we get back from our trip."
Okay.
And he goes, anyway, he brought home Trinidad, and your mother was beautiful.
She still is.
Yes, she is. I fell in love, but I was 18 at the time, and your mom was very gracious and let me down very gently that she wasn't really interested. And she's always been very nice to me, but man, did I have a crush on her. And anyway, the point of this story is that your dad is a very lucky man because your mom is a pretty awesome mom.
Yeah.
And he goes, so I, of course, think that you are the coolest.
Thanks. Not a lot of people think that. That's nice.
Let's go over. By the way, these tamales were great. Let's go over and get your book and some writing stuff. And we're not telling your dad. Remember, don't slip up.
I will do my best.
All right.
I'm so excited. Robbie kind of wraps up another like four tamales in some napkins or something and sticks them. I like to think they have a little like shoulder bag and shoves them in their little shoulder bag.
Yeah, absolutely. You guys get over to Woolworths where your dad is working. As you're walking over, you notice in the alleyway the same black car.
I think I just start kind of like tapping his arm.
He goes, what? What? What?
We can't go in an alleyway. We can't go in an alleyway because it's in the alleyway. We can't go in an alleyway because it's in the alleyway.
It's okay. It's okay. I wonder why they're there. Okay, come over here. And you guys go across the street and you're kind of hunched down a little bit. And inside of the store is two men in suits talking to your dad. And after a few minutes, they leave and get in the car and drive away. And he goes,
Is that bad?
Well, it's probably not good. Come on, let's go.
Robbie will follow and just kind of keep craning their neck to see where the black car goes.
Okay, so you clock it as it turns around the corner. It looks like it's heading towards where your mom works, the library. Jake goes, come on, Ghost, let's get across the street quick. Your dad sees you come in and comes up to Jake really quickly. He goes, the FBI? Seriously? What the fuck did you do? Look, they took a couple of friends of mine and I took them back. That's it. A jailbreak? Are you out of your mind? Look, sometimes people are illegally held and they need help. Oh, Jesus, this is deeper than they told me that if I don't tell them where you are, then I can be an accessory. He goes, did you tell him? Of course I didn't tell him, jerk, but you got to get out of here. Yeah, I probably do need to go. But before I go, look, I wasn't going to tell you this, but me and Ghost here are going to take a trip up to Marfa tonight and see the lights. And your wife said it was okay, and she outrakes you, right? So you have to say yes. And he goes, well, getting out of town for a couple hours is probably a good idea. I don't know if I want you to take my daughter with you, though. And he looks at you.
Dad, I'm almost an adult.
Boy, I've heard that one before.
I figured as a parent you had. Yeah.
He goes, just be really careful, all right? Get out of here now before they find you. Jake goes, sure, grab what you need.
Oh,
Ghost.
Yeah. Dad, are there any more notebooks and probably like four pencils?
Yeah, you know where they are.
Okay, I'll go gather all the things I need. I'll give him all the change that was left over from getting lunch earlier.
He goes, keep the change. If you need it, I'll pay for the notebooks. Be careful, all right?
Okay, wait. Uncle Jake said that you used to write things also.
Yeah, I still do sometimes.
Would you maybe want to write something with me sometime?
He puts his hand on your shoulder and he goes, anytime that you want to do anything, let me know and we will do it.
Okay, okay.
Be careful.
Oh, yeah, It's going to be fun. We're going to see the lights. I love the lights.
All right, get out of here before they come back.
Okay, I love you.
Love you too. Jake walks with you to the door and lets you through. He goes, all right, here's the deal. We're two blocks away from the bike. We're going to go through the alleyways, and then we're going to get on the bike and get out of town. All right?
Mm-hmm.
Let's go. And he starts walking normally. And he goes, I've got a brace. I'm not going any faster than this.
I can't go any faster than this either.
Then that's as fast as we're going to go, right?
Okay. I mean, I've tried to run and I don't really like it that much because it doesn't feel good. And also it's boring, or it's not boring. I like the fast part of it, but it's not really worth the pain part of it, you know?
No, it's not. Let's get through these alleyways. So what I need you to do is make a stealth roll.
Oh, lost a die.
Oh, I can do that in here. I'm going to use one luck point to get me right down to 20.
Sounds good.
Because it's not fucking Delta Green.
Yeah, Delta Green. Oh, man. That fucking system.
That is all my knowledge of Call of Cthulhu-esque games. So the fear of seeing one over is just crippling. And then knowing that I can use luck.
Yeah. So you guys drive up there and you stop quite a few times throughout the day. You stop to get a snack. You stop to use the restroom because, 100 miles you said?
Yeah, it's like 97 or something like that.
Yeah, that much time on one of those bikes. Ooh, man. Even being young.
Painful.
It's painful.
Wearing braces on a bike like that sounds like hell.
Yeah.
I think there are a few times that Robbie kind of taps his shoulder. And when they pull off, they kind of tumble off the bike and pull out their notebook and start scribbling and looking. And like, it's just like a vista of something. And they're scribbling and scribbling and scribbling for probably like 3 minutes. Just like trying to like paint a word picture, basically. And then they throw the pencil back in the bag and the notebook. Okay, we can go.
Okay, you get up there, little tiny town. But in the town, there is a little photograph booth that a photographer basically takes pictures for people who want them. He goes, let's get our picture taken since we're here.
Okay.
So you go in, get a picture taken. The guy tells you, look, it's going to take a little bit to get it processed. Tells you come back in a couple hours. And he goes, all right, let's go do a few things. And he takes you to maybe the local soda jerk or something like that. You guys have ice cream or whatever. He talks to you about classical music that he likes and different jazz that he likes and ask you about the music that you like and the things that you're into. And he goes, you know, what's your favorite book? What book do you read the most?
Oh, man. What book do I read the most? I don't know that I read one book the most.
You know how when you're reading a book, you fold down the top little corner to mark where you are? Well, instead of that, if I find a passage that I really like, I'll fold up the bottom corner so that when I go back, I can look and find those passages that feel real, I guess, or that make me feel something.
That speak to you, right?
Yeah. That's the word. That's the phrase. It's not a word. It's a phrase. No, I like those. And sometimes books will be really, really boring or really, really bad. And then there will be three sentences that matter. And it's so frustrating because you have to slog through this whole thing to get to these three freaking sentences that mean something in all of this stuff that doesn't mean anything.
A lot of people don't know how to edit.
Yes.
The hardest part, and I don't know if you've done this before, but you're writing a story, right? You've got everything plotted out. It's your baby. You've done so much work for it. And then you go to start rewriting. You do a second draft. And in a way, it's like you have to reshape your entire story. And some people can't do that.
Yes.
They can't reshape.
It's so tiring.
It is.
That's why I like writing it with pen and paper, because it's easier to edit on pencil and paper than on the typewriter, because then it's just stamped there and it's stuck. Did I tell you? Oh my gosh. Did I tell you on Christmas morning, or I guess it was the morning after Christmas, technically, I rewrote the ending of It's a Wonderful Life. It wasn't a happy rewriting either. It was bad. I made bad things happen to I forget that guy's name. You said it earlier and I forgot it because I didn't really care
Potter?
About him very much.
The old man Potter, the rich guy.
Yeah. I rewrote the ending about him. I made it really bad. And I felt kind of guilty because someone made him, you know, someone thought him up in their brain and they put him on a paper and then someone else pretended to be him for however long it takes to shoot a movie. And he's real to them. And I just made his life miserable. And I feel kind of bad about it, but not bad enough to not have done it and not be proud of it, because I think it ends better than the movie ends.
You got to remember, though, that Potter's the villain in that. So they made him to not like. When you're writing in those kind of books or movies or whatever, and you have a villain, they're there to not like. It's okay to not like some people because they've done bad things. Everybody's deserving of being able to do better or to be redeemed, but they have to do something to redeem themselves. And so having a story where Potter gets his just desserts is okay. And I'm sure the people who wrote that movie wouldn't mind your version of it either. He goes, have you ever thought of writing for movies?
Kind of. But also, I think part of my problem with it is that I like saying what everything looks like and how everything feels. And I don't trust movies to do it right. Which maybe I just don't have enough experience with them, because I haven't watched a lot of movies, but I've watched some movies, and I feel like some movies would be better as books.
Here's what I think is important to remember. A book is a book, a movie is a movie. And so try really hard to separate the two. When you're writing for a book or you're writing for a movie, they're a different art form. It's like the difference between clay and marble. You're not going to have the same techniques and the same things to create that art. I've always wanted to be in movies. I always thought it'd be a lot of fun to work in movies.
You should try.
Well, if I get out of the situation I'm in right now, I might go out to LA. It would be fun. Well, look, it's getting dark. We should go by the photographer and we should go up and see those lights.
Yes, yes.
So the photographer gives your uncle the picture and he says, here you go. Put this in your book.
Okay. And I'll tuck it between the pages, probably the pages that I've been writing on the most.
Okay. You guys head out and you go to where it's just off the road a little bit. And you look up and there are these green lights that suddenly just start popping up across the mountain. And Jake goes, well, I'll be damned. That's pretty amazing.
Yeah. No one knows what they are either. Someone said something about like atmospheric refraction or something last time I was here, but I didn't. I think that's a boring answer if that's what it is.
Yeah, I could see that. And he goes, you know what I was saying about being able to go to Puerto Rico and going to Hollywood and everything like that?
Mm-hmm.
Moments like this is why you need to do it. You got to get out there and do stuff.
Yeah.
That's how you have interesting times.
Is that why you did a jailbreak, besides trying to take care of your friends?
Well, we stole some money from a person of power, and they caught up to us. I got away, and my friends did not. They were holding them in a cell before moving them to federal prison, before they got on trial. And I took the opportunity to get them out of jail. Unfortunately, one of the guards that was at the jail got shot. I feel bad about that. Anyway, I got them out, and they headed to Mexico. I don't know. I knew for some reason I needed to come here before heading down south, and I think you were the reason. I didn't know you were here, but that's what I'm going to believe, that you were the reason I had to come and meet you before I headed to Mexico.
I'm glad you did. Robbie kind of sits with their notebook kind of clenched in their lap and looks like they're trying to grapple with the implication, or the not even implication, but just like the straight fact that their uncle shot somebody. And that, like, all of this time with him that they've had in one day and feeling like they understand him and like he understands them, there's a part of them that doesn't know how to handle all of the, like, high euphoric feelings against all of this, like, kind of rough news. So Robbie just kind of sits there for a little bit.
It wasn't right that I shot that guy.
It wasn't right that your friends were stuck, though. I don't have any judgment because I don't have any basis for judgment, and I'm not trying to. I'm just trying to understand, and I think I do.
No, I get that. Well, I think the lesson to take away from all of it is that we all make tough decisions, and sometimes there is no good answer to the situation. There's just darkness. And you sit out there, and he looks up at the lights.
Probably just points.
Yeah. He goes, this is nice. Let's stay here for another hour and then we'll head back, okay?
Wait, I thought we were going to go look at them.
Oh, you're right. I didn't realize we could go up there. I thought this was as close as we could go.
No, Mom and Dad just said I couldn't go because they were afraid a mountain lion was going to eat me.
Well, my bike will chase away any mountain lions.
We're taking the bike up a mountain?
Well, yeah. That's the fun part.
Okay.
By the way, if we fall off the mountain, this was your idea. And drives away. So I'm going to say for the next hour, 2 hours, you guys are like going around the mountain, looking at the different lights, trying to figure out. When you get close to them, they disappear. It's this whole weird thing. But you have a ton of fun. You laugh. It's just one of these, you know, really great situations of just really bonding with a person that's so different from your parents, but is still family.
Yeah.
And you guys finally drive back and you get home. You're so tired that on your way home, you feel like you're going to fall asleep a couple of times. And if the bike didn't jostle so much, you might have.
Yeah.
And you get into town and you're starting to go towards your house and you see a couple of sheriff's cars and the black car on the road going towards your home. Jake stops the motorcycle and he goes, this is one of those situations where there's no good answer.
Oh, I know where the spare key to the library is. You can sleep in there until it's morning, and then they won't be able to see you, and then you can just sneak out again.
He goes, I told your dad I would take care of you.
Well, you can drop me off right here, and I'll just walk home, and then you can go to the library, and it'll be fine.
Look, kid, if I drop you off here, I'm just going to split town, because I have to get away from these people.
But it's late, and you're tired, and you might crash, and...
I just would go a little ways. I'm sorry, Ghost, but I have to make a choice. If I stay here, they're going to catch up to me at some point. This has been a great day, and I tell you what, I will come and find you in the future. I will see you again, and you have that picture, right?
Well, should I hide it? Because if they know I was with you, they'll know that Dad knew that you were here, and then if they knew Dad knew that you were here, then they would take him away, and that would be bad too, so should you take it?
No, you should take it. Put it on the inside of your shirt. Because I imagine Robbie, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, Robbie probably dresses pretty tomboyish, is my guess.
Yeah.
So you probably have like pants and a white shirt and maybe an overshirt. So he says, just tuck it in your white shirt. They're not going to search you. You're a kid.
Okay.
Robbie will like make sure that their shirt is tucked into their pants and kind of way down the side. That they the same side that their bag kind of lays on, they'll tuck it into the waistband of their pants under their shirt.
I'm sorry I have to leave you like this. You gonna be okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. I'm always fine. I'm nothing ever happens here, and I'm okay with that most of the time. But sometimes things do happen, and then you happen, and it was good.
It was good. And you know what else? It's just the beginning. You get out of here. You graduate high school and you go do something. Have fun. Go do art somewhere. Go be a rebel. Go be a communist. Okay?
Okay.
He kisses you on the forehead and gives you a big hug and says, all right, get going.
Oh, wait.
And Robbie's going to rip out all of the like description writing that they did on the road and fold it up really small and kind of push it into his hands. Maybe you'll have something to write about.
I will. I'll write. You promise you write.
I don't think I could stop if I wanted to, honestly.
All right, Ghost. I'll see you later.
Okay. I love you, Uncle Jake.
I love you too, kid. And he pulls away, and you start walking down the road towards the sheriff. One of the sheriffs notices you, and it's a small town. And he goes, Robbie?
Hi.
What are you doing out this late?
I was at the library.
Okay, but your mom's already home.
I know.
Let me give you a ride. Let me give you a ride. It's the middle of the night.
Yes, Officer Mark.
So you get in the car with Mark.
Robbie is like squirming and trying really hard to keep like their bag close and but like be normal about it. And it's awkward.
He goes, so did your uncle get away in time?
Huh? I don't have an uncle.
As he's pulling up to the thing, he goes, look, I'm not going to tell him. I hate the FBI. I just wanted to know if your uncle got away.
There's like the flicker of a smile when he says, I hate the FBI. And then Robbie kind of bites their lip to quell it.
I don't know what you're talking about. I've never had an uncle before.
Good answer, kid. Have a good night, Robbie.
You too, Officer Mark.
Get out. Your dad meets you at the door. You okay? Where's Jake?
Yeah, I don't know any Jake.
You're inside. There's nobody here.
Oh, right. He had to go.
Yeah, I figured he would. Well, I'm glad you got to meet him.
Yeah, I am too. I don't know. I think I'm sad. I think I'm really sad he's gone.
I understand. You can be sad. I'm sad a lot too when he's gone.
Why didn't you try to find him before then?
Because he was on a different path. I was raising you and making sure you were safe. And my brother was doing his own thing. And I don't always agree with what he was doing, but he's still my family. And he says, you know, you should get to sleep. And he gives you a big hug. And he says, do you want me to carry you upstairs? I can still do that. Come on, your legs hurt.
Yeah.
Picks you up and takes you upstairs. And he puts you in your room. He says, good night, honey. Love you.
Night, Dad.
All right. And that is where we're going to end that episode.
Oh, I was so afraid it was going to go scary and bad. And it was very sweet. I'm very... Oh.
Well, you know, we'll talk about that in the after show.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Lev. That was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed yourself.
Wonderful, wonderful.
Tell the audience where you are, where they can find you.
Hello. You've been listening to me talk for the last hour-ish, but in case you forgot who I was, I'm Lev. I use they, them pronouns. You can find me on Twitter and Blue Sky at lev.rs23. And usually I'm over at Mayday Roleplay, where we're playing Delta Green, as you heard me complain about earlier. Not complain. I love playing Delta Green. That sounded bad. I love playing Delta Green. I'm just scared every time something goes bad there. But we're also playing Orpheus, Vampire the Masquerade, a bunch of different games. I'm also a voice actor. And then narrative podcasts that you can find, or sometimes video games, too. I don't get any better at these, and it's worse when there's no one else to follow. So I'm going to stop talking now.
That's good. You're completely cool. It's cool. I am Wes Otis. You can find me at Plate Mail Games on all the different socials. You can find our podcast at our website, 12sidestoriesallspelledout.com. On most social medias, it's 12, the number 12, and then Sided Stories. You can find us everywhere. And definitely try to join our Discord, where you can talk to us about the show and all that good stuff. If you want to support the show, find us over on Patreon under 12 Sided Stories. And yeah, or give us a shout out or a review. Those things are always awesome. We will talk to you next time on Otherworld Hollywood. Thanks for listening. Bye.